Right now, let's go to one of our callers. Here's Keith in Bel Air. Good evening, Keith. How are you? How can we help you?
Hi, I'm fine. I just, you know, I've been listening to your show for a while, and I like a lot of the information you guys give. I think it's really good advice. Just one thing I wanted to touch base on. They were talking about this poor individual who died, you know, on the MRI table. And this happens to be one of the areas that I work in. I was an ER nurse for 22 years. Now I'm doing a lot of IR. And, you know, the way that these units are set up, I'm almost surprised that it doesn't happen more often. Because, first of all, they're in dimly lit rooms. The patient is a good 20 feet away from any provider because you can't be in the room while the MRI is being done. And, you know, it would actually be difficult to see a patient stop breathing.
Jim, do you want to respond to that? Or?
No, I think that's a good point. And I think, Keith, that's why in this case, the medication that was given was really the critical issue, because I guess, as you're saying, it can be difficult to monitor the patient in that situation. And therefore, it was the excessive medications here that is really what did it.
The other thing that I wanted to say is today, it's getting increasingly more difficult to tell what excessive medication is for an individual patient. We have so many patients who develop pain tolerance to medications through either chronic drug use or chronic drug abuse that it's really difficult to tell when you have a level of medication that's too high for that individual, especially in the setting that I just described. You know, I used to work with at a hospital, and we had one gentleman who would come in and would receive routinely medications that, for example, would have killed an individual like myself.
Well, I was talking to Jim off the air about this, and I mean, if you're going in for surgery, now in an emergency room situation, you may not have the time and you don't have as many options, but if you're scheduling surgery, as an example, every time I've gone into a hospital and I've had some minor surgery or my wife or something like that, they almost took a whole history of what kind of medications I'm on. And, you know, it's almost like a thorough exam, a pre-op exam, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see where, you know, there would be some problems in an emergency room setting, but, you know, that should be minimized. And, you know, if you're scheduling some form of treatment or surgery, don't you think?
Yeah. By and large, I think it's, once again, also, it's easier to determine if it's an inpatient versus an outpatient experience. Because a lot of times, if this is an outpatient procedure, they come right in, they're in the room before anybody's had a chance to take a great deal of time with them. So it depends on your, you know, the paradigm that you're working within.
Well, let me ask you this, Keith. I mean, Jim is an expert lawyer in the medical malpractice field.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably an expert in the medical field, at least in the expertise that you have, you know, studied for and practiced. So what would you recommend how to improve situations like this from occurring?
One of the things that concerns me as a healthcare practitioner is the ever-decreasing amount of time that we are allowed to spend with patients, not just nurses, but healthcare practitioners in general. There's this focus to push time frames. And, you know, if you really want to reduce mistakes, you need rigid paradigms that you have the time to go through, checklists that, you know, specify each particular aspect. We have this procedure that we use called a timeout, and we're supposed to go over certain things before we begin any procedure. And this needs to be applied, I think, more universally, especially to a procedure who's receiving a risky medication.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because just last week we were talking about this kind of thing, timeouts, the med zone, and maybe you've heard about that too, where hospital leaders set up a medical zone, a quiet area set aside for working without interruptions, so that the medical team can focus strictly on that patient at that time. So,
yeah, we don't do that in my hospital, but that's a great idea.
Well, as I said, last week it was a lot of new safety practices out there based actually on the airline industry, checklists, things of that nature that could help reduce hospital errors. Not only could, but have. So excellent suggestion there, Keith. Okay?
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to 1-800-LAW-CALL. Please remember that proper legal advice depends on a complete analysis of all facts and circumstances. The legal advice given during this program is intended as general information only, and no attorney-client relationship is created with callers or listeners to this program. If you were unable to have your question answered during today's program, you can call 1-800-LAW-CALL at any time, day or night, and select option 2 to arrange a free and private conversation with a member of the law firm of Shakur, Federico, and Staten. Numerically, that's 1-800-529-2255.